Hello and welcome to the Realm of Nerd. This is Kai as always, and I am joined by my two regular hosts, Early. So, you guys want to introduce yourself?
I'm Elijah. I'm co-host one, as already established.
Well, it wasn't officially.
It was officially. You denied yourself co-host one.
Okay, well then I am Zeke, co-host one and a half.
Two. You claim two.
You claim two.
Fine, I'm two.
Okay.
Can't just go changing on us now.
No, these are my two equal co-hosts. I run everything and edit everything, so I'm number one host all the time. So you guys are my co-hosts, though.
Yeah, we admit to being co-hosts.
Yeah, you're below me.
Yeah, I admit to being below you, but he's below me.
No, you guys are equal.
Well, in my mind, I'm above everyone, so it's okay.
We know that, and that's why everybody hates you. Okay, so as I said before, when these guys got back, we were going to answer some mail. So we are back on our normal schedule of podcasting and the normal order of the show. We decided to not do the longer episodes. If we want to do manga or books, we'll do them maybe as, you know, extras or whatever if we find something really amazing that we want to share with you, or we'll share it in the comic books for manga. So as I promised, we are going to answer some user mail, or not user mail, listener
email.
Email, yeah. Listener email.
Listener email.
Because that's what's hip and cool right now.
Yeah, email.
And we only got three, but if you guys like to email us more, or even just to hear your name on the podcast, just email us and we'll give you a shout out. So this section is our shout out and email.
Bill.
We got a couple emails from this guy named Jack, and his first email was, "Your podcast is very informative and funny. The only concern I have is there's a slight lack of new with Marvel and Nintendo. I am fully aware that Nintendo completely fails with consoles, but the handheld games are not terrible." And that's Jack from Ohio. And we don't really cover Nintendo because none of us really own anything besides the 64 and before, N64 and before. And we did respond to him
several times.
Yes, several times. To shorten my explanation of why we don't have a Nintendo section is because none of us own a Nintendo Wii. And honestly, I probably will not buy the Wii U or whatever, because none of their games are really good. I played Zelda 1,000 different times. I'm not going to buy a console just for a new Zelda game. They're trying too much with the motion technology for me, and I just don't think they put out enough third-party games like No More Heroes or whatever.
I just don't like Nintendo. I'm sorry. It's just my opinion. I don't play it too much.
I'm all right with Nintendo. It's just, if they get more ideas, less on the pony adventure time.
Well, that's the problem. Is it's geared for a younger audience, and even the handheld games, it's the same games that I've played since I was, eight, and I don't want to play them anymore. I mean, like, I'd love to play them and go back to play them, but, I mean, I just want some third-party stuff. They're a older generation. They're a next-generation console with last-generation's graphics and gameplay, and I just don't like that. So, with the Marvel, yes, next month we will be starting our Marvel section. I have started buying the Marvel previews, but since previews comes 3 months ahead, I can't buy new previews. So if you guys were wondering that too, whatever. And that'll answer your questions if you're wondering that too. So he also sent a response saying that he enjoyed the Kirby Mass Attack, and he was listening to the episode as he was writing that email and sent before he got to the portable game. So yes, we do review Nintendo, just mostly in portable, because that's where
It's at.
That's where all Nintendo's good games are, I guess. I really don't have an opinion because I don't own any Nintendo.
I think I'm the only one that owns a current system.
And no, we all own current systems.
No, I mean current Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, and I also mentioned to him, which I'd like to mention to everybody, please subscribe if you're downloading to us from iTunes. And because the more people we get, the better the podcast it will be, because maybe we could eventually get some sponsors and get a bigger audience, maybe be able to review more stuff with having to spend less money. Okay, and the next email we got was from Mason, and he's from Oklahoma, and he wrote, I didn't respond to him, I'm sorry, Mason, I'm sure you're going to listen to this. Hey, it's Mason, I just wanted to say that scenario PC game, Arma 2, DayZ mod is very popular and looks very good. As soon as I get a new desktop, I'm going to get it off of Steam. So it's available on Steam, anybody that wants to take this recommendation. And he also wrote about the Walking Dead game that we did review. And he said the new zombie game called Human Element is now in the making that he read in Game Informer. So, yeah, I'm sorry we didn't cover everything, but we just covered a little bit to give you a taste of zombies and what we enjoyed and were knowledgeable about.
There's way too much zombie stuff. We couldn't cover everything.
Yeah. And with... Ooh, I just punched my mic. I'm sorry. With the PC world, I'm the only one that owns a PC that's any good for gaming, and I just don't game that much on it. I do own Diablo 3, and I just haven't gotten around to playing it a lot. I do love Diablo. I just haven't had really enough time. I hope that answers your question. And Mason, if you do want to send me some games, I'll download Steam, and maybe we could download some games and play together. And I'll give you my Steam account through the email. And
shout out.
We have a shout out because someone followed us on SoundCloud called Monster and Monkey. And Mr. Monster and Monkey, I don't know your real name. Maybe send us an email. It's always in the show notes. It's ramanerd@gmail.com. I hope you know that by now. And our site is...
Wait. What was the email? I mean, so much...
ramanerd@gmail.com.
Can't plug too much, Kai.
Shut up. And the website where you can send us emails at and check out all of our podcasts.
Can I say it?
Yeah, so you can say it.
realmofnerd.wix.com/home/
Well, you know,
what other slash is
there? There's backslash.
That sounds like martial arty.
Do you look at the keyboard? There is more than one slash.
Obviously, I've never taken a typing class.
It's right above enter.
Oh. Well, never mind.
Okay. Yeah,
for those of you who didn't know that there were two different types of slashes, now you do.
Okay, Monster and Monkey, thanks for following us. Maybe go on iTunes or to our site and download more stuff. And we'd love to hear from you again. And I'm glad that you were following us on SoundCloud, but we don't use SoundCloud anymore because we're using a new site called Podomatic, and that's who is providing us with our RSS feed for iTunes and everything. You could go on iTunes and subscribe, but if you don't have iTunes, you could go to the website that we just told you, or you could go to podomatic.com and search for Realm of Nerd, and we'll be on there, and we'd love for you to subscribe or follow us on there. Okay, so enough with the shout-outs and the email. We are going to move on to...
Upcoming previews, like we always start out with normally.
Normally, never.
Yeah, we're going to move on to our comic book section and read out of previews. So Zeke marked this one. Red Lanterns number 12 is coming out next week on...
August 1st.
August 1st, all these comics are coming out next week on August 1st. I'm sorry we're a little late in recording this. So Red Lanterns number 12, why'd you pick this one?
Not exactly for the 12 reason, but because of it being Red Lanterns, of course, this is off of the Green Lantern kind of world, where the Red Lanterns are a different corporation. And I haven't gotten a chance to read any of those, but I would like to.
Okay, so more DC and more Green Lantern stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So if you like Green Lantern, check out the Red Lanterns. It's coming out next week. Okay, that is all we have for DC, since it's just basically us talking about running series. I don't think we need to cover each and every series that we like every week, but we probably will.
We may take breaks.
We may take breaks and skip a couple, but yeah, we do read some on DC. And next month we'll start talking about Marvel. So here is the Image section, which we have four comics and Image. So next week, a new comic called Think Tank is coming out, and it's called Dr. David Loren is many things: child prodigy, inventor, genius, slacker, mass murderer. When the military think tank's smartest scientist decides that he can no longer stomach creating weapons of destruction, will he be able to think his way out of his dilemma or find himself subject to the machinations of smaller men? And it looks pretty cool. It's a black and white comic. It has a four-page preview in the previous comic.
I'm excited for Comics.
It looks pretty good. The cover art has Guy with all this stuff coming out of his head that he's created.
Yeah, he's...
And here's one that I think's really cool. Oh, and I think Think Tank is an ongoing series. It doesn't say. It's just number one.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say one of four, so it's probably an ongoing series that they're starting. The next one is not an ongoing series. It's a one of five that we're going to cover. It's called Harvest. And it's called the little blurb in it, the comic preview, is human traffickers, rogue medical teams, Yakuza run organ mills, and a six-year-old drug fiend. Welcome to Dr. Benjamin Dane's nightmare. His only way out? Bring him down the man who set him up by reclaiming the organs already placed in someone very powerful people. If Dexter, ER, and 100 Bullets has a three-way, and mind-blowing Triss somehow resulted in a kid, that kid would read Harvest. Medical-grade revenge. So this guy runs around and reharvested Harvest organs, trying to give them back to the people.
So something about
babies. If you're the product of a three-way, read Harvest.
Basically, yeah. If you're a product of a three-way, read Harvest.
Yeah.
If you don't know who your real dad is.
That's insensitive, Kai.
Don't kill yourself.
Okay, and the next one is actually a graphic novel of something that we've mentioned before. Profit Volume 1, Remission Trade Paperback is coming out on August 1st, too. And I just wanted to mention that. And then our last one that we're going to cover in our previews is Alpha Girl number 4 is coming out. And I've been reading Alpha Girl since number 1. I thought it was pretty cool. It's kind of a weird take on the zombies, a little cartoony, but a lot of dark humor and stuff like that. So I thought it was pretty good.
Because, you know, that's a perfect pair. Dark humor and cartoony comics.
And zombies that are made out of Walmart cosmetics.
Really?
Basically, yeah.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Awesome.
If I was a zombie, I would want to be made out of Walmart.
Don't use Walmart cosmetics.
They're not made out of Walmart cosmetics, but everybody that used, like, big drugstore cosmetics turns into them.
Oh, Walmart better be sued for that.
This story better not be real.
If it is, I got guns.
Okay.
Okay. And I got cosmetics.
So, our series this week. I'm glad you have cosmetics. Okay, our series this week is Justice. Oh my goodness, I hiccup burped.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that was probably gross for everybody to hear. I'm sorry.
I think you got away far enough.
Okay. I almost puked a little on that too, so.
Blah, right in the mic.
My mouth tastes kind of bad. Okay, the series is Justice League from the New 52 that Zeke is going to talk about.
This is Justice League from the New 52, as Kai said. It's on number 11. Yeah, it's on number 11. It's basically about the Justice League doing stuff and things.
What's the main storyline right now?
Right now, they're just kind of meeting up from what I got from it. They're just kind of meeting up.
Like getting the Justice League together?
Yeah, they're getting it together. They
Number are they on?
11, but I've only read a few, so probably now there's a main storyline.
Oh, so you're covering a comic that you haven't read yet?
I think he's like five or six
I'm
in.
At seven.
He's at seven, and they're at 11, so he's just a little bit behind. He's
okay, and they haven't fought anybody or done anything.
They have stopped these weird. Yeah, they killed stuff. I forget what they're called.
Describe them.
I can't remember. They're in here. Probably should have prepared a little more.
Yeah, I mean,
they look like little robot zombie things.
Okay, that's
okay. Well, okay, Justice League. Same old stories from DC.
Yeah.
Jeff Johns, though, he's pretty good.
The artwork in it's pretty good.
Yeah. I got the sketch art cover.
You got the variant. Cover.
Okay. Yeah.
Always good.
Speaking of alternate covers, I just collected all of the alternate covers from The Walking Dead 100.
Why don't you just toot your horn?
I'm going to toot my horn because I'm going to put them up and frame them. My favorite one is Rick as a zombie because the zombie doesn't have a hand. He has like a handgun about to shoot himself in the head, and it's like Lori, and then it says, and Rick in blood. But it's Ooh. Rick as a zombie.
Suicidal zombie Rick.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Hot.
But, I mean, I got all eight Tasty. Covers besides the, like, sketch ones. There's, like, I think 12 of them, but a couple of them are just the same covers, but they're, like, sketch, like that one.
Like my Justice
Yeah,
League.
They're, like, the black and white sketch.
I like the colored ones more. Covers.
No, I like the...
Me too. I just wanted every different one because I saw, hey, why not? I did spend, like, $30, $40 on Walking Dead.
One
that
issue.
Week, though. The one issue.
Okay. I guess it's not sad. We're collectors.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just got it because, hey, maybe it'll be worth money, but I just wanted it. That's the whole reason I got it, is because I wanted all the different art, and I wanted to frame it like I'm doing with Saga.
Saga's cool.
Yeah, and I like their covers. On to, that was Justice League. If you don't know the Justice League story, look up the New 52 and maybe get into it.
They've most of the New 52s, side note, have trade paperbacks out right now.
Okay, so yeah, they're coming out with the trade paperback first ones.
Yep.
So you could go pick up the trade paperbacks from the New 52s.
Then continue on your story.
And actually catch up. So that's pretty cool that they're finally out with those now.
Yep.
And
so there's hope for Zeke to start the Red Lanterns yet.
Yeah. Okay. So, video games. Let's move on to that. Yeah. So, our upcoming video game that we watched trailers of was
Dead Space 3.
Dead Space 3.
We might want to look up when that comes out.
Yeah, whatever. It'll come out soon.
It's upcoming.
Yeah. We don't know when it comes out. Why do we need to look that up?
If you're interested, just by what we say, then you can look it up.
I mean, the
on
release
Google.com.
We're just going to talk about it. We don't need to give the release date.
Okay.
Is there even a release date on it yet?
I don't know. We never looked it up.
It just came out on E3, and they just showed gameplay. It might be coming out. I think it's coming out next year, like in 2013.
Probably
in like January. It's the big.
Yeah. But it just came out, and like a lot of gameplay and. The storyline came out in Game Informer just recently, and it came out with some gameplay on E3, and that's what we watched getting ready for this, and I think it looks pretty cool. I've played almost all of Dead Space 1. I own Dead Space 2. I got it for Christmas, but again, I haven't been gaming that much on my Xbox. I need to start picking it up again. And because I really like that series, the music, the ambiance, just everything about that game is creepy, and it just is a really good game. I haven't played a game that good in a long time.
Everything about you is creepy.
A lot of stuff about me is creepy. But
what's creepy is that your favorite store is Victoria's Secret, and you just camp out there. That's a Steve move.
I like their Siamese twin yarmulkes, motorcycle yarmulkes with the straps.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you can get them in different head sizes, like A, B, C, and D. I didn't know there were that many Siamese twins that were Jewish.
That is. I didn't either. Apparently, Jews have a lot of them.
I make secret forts in the lingerie, and I pop out at people and go, "Get away from my home!"
Anyways,
that and then Lowe's.
So, what did you guys think about Dead Space 3?
I thought that it was really
hard to see.
It was freaky. I did like the quick action event in 3. If you watch gameplay from E3, you can find that on YouTube. If you haven't seen it, when the truck's starting to fall, that was really cool to watch it. And then he like gets out, and then he's like, "Oh, better cover my face. There's still snow."
Yeah, yeah. He just like almost falls off a cliff, and then he's just all like, "Screw it, it's snowing." And he puts his hand up like nothing happened. And it's all like, Isaac is such a badass.
I'm wearing a helmet, but you know, I got to keep it out of my eyes.
Why not?
Well, the sun's probably bright.
It was, because you thought it was sand after it just snowed for the past mile that he hiked.
Hey, that's a texture problem. That's not my eyes.
That's not a texture problem, because we knew it was snow. He was coming out of a dark cave that was a shadow on snow, and there's snow blowing everywhere. And you're all like, why is he on sand now?
Because there's a snow beach.
But they released, again, probably new enemies. And the one that Game Informer covered was the feeder.
Which is really cool.
It's a guy or a person who was a human, and they're on like this snowy planet, so it's hard to survive and stuff. So this human ate one of the necromorphs, and it poisoned them and turned them into this new necromorph called the Feeder. And they look like humans, and I think some of them have like weapons, like ice picks and stuff like that.
I have no clue.
And they come after you. It's the one that you saw. It was the new enemy.
It was the naked one, right?
Well, they're naked ones, and I think some of them have, like, parkas and stuff on. Oh. They're the ones with weapons. They come after you with weapons.
Oh, okay. And then they, like, burst into arms?
Yeah, and then after you shoot all their limbs off, their torso and arms blow off, and then they're just, like, legs with, like, three tentacles coming out. I do like how it always puts, like, you may not be in a lot of danger, but they always put just enough enemies to make you go, "Oh crap, oh crap, oh crap," and kind of freak out.
Run away. If you watch the same gameplay that we did, the guy was walking through this tunnel, like before he came out onto the beach, and he like two things popped out, and he killed one, and one was coming at him, and so he started backing up, which was a tactical move, and then one jumps out right behind him.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like how Dead Space does that, and I think it's just a well-crafted, good game, good concept. It's just all around a good game. It's probably one of my favorite game series for one players. Like, if you're just going to sit down and enjoy a game, pop that sucker in on easy, and you're still going to probably
turn off all the lights and
yeah,
urinate like, yourself.
I don't like playing it with all the lights off. It's kind of creepy.
The first time you played it, you had us in the room.
Yeah, I was kind of scared.
Then those dang asteroids.
Yeah, and then the asteroids came, and I couldn't beat that. But
let's pass the controller around.
So before this comes out, I'm going to have to beat Dead Space and Dead Space 2 to actually get the storyline, or at least finish them a lot and so I can play
Dead Space 2. You're only seven months in.
Yeah. I haven't played it for, like, 7 months either. So, true. I played it for about 2-3 weeks and then stopped.
Hardcore.
Yeah. Okay, so that was our upcoming video game. Let's move on to the portable game, which Zeke normally covers this, but this week Elijah is.
But this podcast is just so messed up.
So crazy.
I know, right?
Rebels.
You guys left, and I had to do it on my own, and then everything went to crap.
Everyone that listened was like, "Why does he sound so sad? Is that him crying in the background?" And it was.
It was.
I was cutting myself, too, like an emo.
Bleeding all over Zeke's carpet.
What? Why are you looking at your carpet?
Have you, like, been here for, like, what, two
no,
days?
No, I've been sitting in a chair for two
yeah,
days.
Yeah, you hermit yourself.
You haven't left this room for, like, 3 days since
hey,
you've
Mary
been back.
Jo made me get out.
True.
Okay, you came out for, like, 2 hours, and wouldn't you notice there was blood on the carpet?
No.
Zig's an idiot. Don't worry. But today on the portable game for the PS Vita, we are covering the awesome game called Gravity Rush, which I was really excited for it to come out, and I bought it 3 days after it came out because I didn't. That's when I got paid. So I did try to get it when it came out, but I was broke. So I got it, and like Kai had no clue what it was and hadn't even heard about it. And so I showed him a trailer, and he's like, "Whoa!"
This was before you left. This was before it came out.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a really cool game, like a really cool concept. It looked really cool. I don't know what the storyline's about or why this girl's jumping around everywhere. It just looks awesome.
Because she has the ability to. Why not?
Well, basically, the storyline is, spoiler, this is a spoiler. It's the main storyline. She wakes up, and there's this kitty cat beside her meow. Because an apple fell on her face. But she has no clue what's going on or who she is or what her goals are. So you go and you figure out after this little short scene that you want to be this hero for this town because you can go into zero gravity and then shift gravity for those who are in a little field around you and yourself. And you fly and you basically fall. Because you're altering gravity, and this chick can fall from really high places. That's a lot of fun, because like the higher up you go, the more severe she like bounces and rolls and stuff when she hits the ground.
From what I played, all I could tell was that I'm upside down or sideways, and now I'm nauseous, and now I put down the thing. I don't know.
It's a really great looking game. Like the graphics for the Vita, they actually did a pretty good job with this game.
And nerd bonus. The storyline's told is through this comic book that if you tilt the system, you can see like through the cracks and see like a little bit past the where the edge is cut off, and you can see a move and like the speech bubbles move with the character's face, and it's real cool. It's 2D though, so you just have to play it. And I like how you attack enemies is by falling on them. You just fly up really high and, like, you fall towards them. And, like, the further you are, the more speed you get, so the stronger your kick is.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really excited for this game. Once I get a little more money, I'll probably pick it up.
Once you get bored with hunting squirrels?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of spending all my money on my 22 rounds, getting ready to hunt some squirrels.
Woo! Feed the family.
Hey, that may sound like a really regular redneck type of thing to do, but why I'm doing it is actually pretty nerdy, because, side note, not to get off topic, I'll cover my mobile game, because we're in topsy-turvy land with the video games right now, with who's doing what, but, why I decided to learn how to hunt squirrels is because there's this thing called prepping, and if you guys never heard of prepping are these people that, prepare for, like, there's different types of preppers. There's some that do it as a hobby, and then some who actually believe it. And I kind of want to do it as a hobby. And they're basically build these survivalist type of packs and that they could just pick up when SHTF, which basically means a dirty word, hits the fan. So when poo hits the fan type of situation, like, the one that I kind of like is the zombie apocalypse, but other people believe that, like, if the economy fails or, like, if we get invaded or something, and you need to basically, natural disasters, you need to basically go off into the woods and survive, and you don't have any electricity, no electronics or whatever. So people get, like, 22s and guns, and then they have these survival packs with survival gear and food and stuff. And some people do it for 24 hours, 72 hours, or, like, for a long term. And they put, like, camping
gear. 5 months.
Or, like, the rest of your life. And they make, like, tents and stuff until you can get a more permanent shelter. And why I'm learning how to hunt squirrels is because small game is going to be more readily available than large game. I don't really want to kill Bambi's mom, but I will kill a tree rat.
That sounds good. And you also want to, just on a side note for another nerdy thing, what else do you want to do when you taxidermy the squirrel?
Oh, I want to taxidermy my squirrels and put them in little leather jackets with knives and, like, on motorcycles and pompadours and sunglasses. And I want to put them up in our trees so the other squirrels won't move in because they think it's a bad squirrel neighborhood.
Dang, those are some bad mamma jammas.
Those are some bad squirrels up there. But to move on to survival mode, away from survival mode, my life, to survival mode, Minecraft PE, which is the portable edition. It's $7 on it's $6.99 on the iTunes marketplace, and you can go to the App Store and buy Minecraft, and you could get it free, but it only gives you the creative mode. And does the free version let you network with other people?
No.
Okay. Well, if you pay the $6, you could play with other people on their iPhones, and you basically can hop onto their iPhone server, and it's basically full version of Minecraft. You can play survival or creative, and other people could jump into your one-player world if you turn it on. You could turn on the network settings where anybody could join or just your friends can join or stuff like that, and you basically play survival mode on your phone.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you could play survival mode on the $7 edition.
Yeah, you had to pay $7, and it's really sweet. Actually, when I'm bored or whatever, or pooping, when I play a lot of my iPhone games.
When you dukes it out.
When I duke it out.
Think about it.
Yeah. When I duke it out, I could pull out my phone and play Minecraft. So it's pretty sweet, and I do a lot of Minecraft poo
and,
games.
And duking. And
yeah. Duke it out, another long explanation, is Duke is short for Dookie. This is just a saying we have between each other, like an inside joke, and I'll let you guys in on it. So Duke.
So it's not an inside joke anymore.
Anybody that listens to the podcast can be in on the joke. It's okay. The podcast inside joke.
Ooh.
Maybe we'll start like an internet thing. Probably not. But okay, Duke is short for Dookie, and it out is it out. So if you duke it out, it means to go poop.
In the toilet, hopefully.
Duke it out in Zeke's room.
You could duke it out anywhere. So if your bully at your high school says, flagpole, 5 o'clock, duke it out. We're going to duke it out. You just go there, and when he shows up, just start pooing on the flagpole, and then he probably won't want to fight you.
Or
you'll get beaten up in your own poo.
Or he's into that stuff and starts joining.
Or then you'll have a poo contest.
And then you won't get beat up. There you go.
Mine has more peanuts.
Ew, reincarnation.
Okay, moving away from this terrible topic.
Okay, moving away from our duking it out topic to another duke it out type of scenario, Elder Scrolls.
Yay.
Okay, this is our main computer and console topic, which is Elder Scrolls, like Morrowind and
Oblivion, Daggerfall, Arena, Skyrim.
Skyrim, yeah. So stuff like that.
And all those that say Elder Scroll across the top in really small letters.
And it's made by Bethesda, which is a great game company and one of my favorites to play their games. And what do you guys think about the Elder Scrolls series?
They all suck until Skyrim.
I suck at them.
You're a liar. You just didn't play when they came out. They're always innovated for their time, even back True. When they were only on PC.
He did play Oblivion.
Yeah.
You played Oblivion when it came out, and you thought it was awesome.
True.
But now you're like, oh, it sucks. Skyrim.
Well, yeah. Sorry.
Of course, it's older. They just improved on the same concept until Skyrim came out.
I only played Morrowind and
although
Oblivion,
I thought Morrowind was a lot better than Oblivion.
Just because it was broken?
Yeah, because it was broken. You could run around and do stuff.
Well, I just don't really like Elder Scrolls because I get lost too easily because I'm like, oh, I'm going to go chase this butterfly and now I'm lost.
Well, my favorite thing to do, I know it's kind of a noob thing, my favorite thing to do is to go chase butterflies on Skyrim and rip their wings off, because if you click on your butterfly or like hit the A button and catch a butterfly, you don't get the whole butterfly, you just get its wings. So you're basically catching a butterfly, ripping its wings off, and putting it in your pocket.
Think of doing that with a bird, and then just ripping the wings.
You do that with dragons too. Like, I just killed a whole dragon. I'm just gonna take your bones and soul.
Yeah, this game is terrible. Or Skyrim's terribly mean. I just want to eat your soul. I'm just using you for your soul. I want to shout stuff.
Hey, Kai, can you tell me about your character?
No, because I haven't played it in a really long time and I forget.
Oh, it's like, I forget what it is.
I'll tell you about my characters if you care.
Oh, yeah, sure, whatever.
Well, why go into the characters when we actually need to talk about the game before we talk about our characters?
Fine. Save that for later.
Okay, we'll talk about our characters later. I think Elder Scrolls is a great series just because it's so in-depth for its time or anything. It's innovative. A lot of games try to be like it. But if you don't want to do any of the quests, you can just roam around and do whatever the hell you want.
I played... this is adding on. I played Skyrim one time, and I followed the storyline for a while, then went off and did other stuff. And then this time, I just was like, I really don't like the beginning storyline, so I'm just going to go do other stuff. And now I'm level 9 and haven't finished the first mission.
Yeah, you could totally go out in Skyrim and just do side quests and put in over 1,000 hours into the game. Like, no one except crazy people finish a Skyrim game and get like 100, or an Elder Scrolls game and get 100% achievements on Xbox.
I'm curious. I know this one dude who does 100% a lot of stuff. That's like all he does. He only plays video games, really. And I want to see if I know he played Skyrim, but I want to see if he actually did beat Skyrim.
Well, I mean, like, I'm sure you could beat it with the main storyline, but
I mean, like, all the achievements.
People can play that game for years and have been playing it for like a year or so since it came out. How long has it been out? Like a year or two?
I don't know.
It came out in December with all the other games.
Half a year-ish?
Yeah, half a year. I know guys that are still playing it. And they've been playing it. They play it every day from when they get off work to when they go to sleep. And that's all they do. It's like World of Warcraft single player. I mean, that's all they do.
Speaking of which, Elder Scrolls MMO.
Yeah, they're coming out with that.
They are coming out with the MMO.
Which is going to be like WoW, except a bit more different.
Yeah, I actually would rather have a Bethesda MMO than World of Warcraft, just another run-of-the-mill. I think they'd actually make it a little more simplistic and innovative, and maybe they'll actually have voice acting to read everything.
That sucks. I hope they keep the new leveling system. I like that a whole bunch.
Yeah, the new leveling system and the dual-wielding magic. I think that's great.
Yeah, that's on my character. Never mind. I'll talk about it later.
But the dual-wielding magic's pretty cool. I never really made mage-type characters where they only do magic and use weapons very, very little.
I tried that in Oblivion. It did not work.
No, not it didn't. Magic users weren't good until Skyrim.
Yeah, Skyrim is, bam, they blew up and they were crazy. Morrowind
was just completely terrible.
Well, you use like scrolls and stuff. That was more like a action adventure hack and slash. You didn't really use a lot of magic in that. But you could if you really wanted to.
It's anything you want. That's what's awesome about
the game. You usually had to switch in between weapons and your magic stuff. But now you could just go straight magic all the time and just level up your health and magicka and just go out and rip stuff up with magic.
I bought the strategy guide for Skyrim just because I found it funny how thick it was and that it doesn't include like everything. And I bought it just to be funny, and I wanted the cool map on the back because it's like huge, and I hung it above our TV. And I'm just wanted to build a mage character because of how good they are in Skyrim versus all the other Elder Scroll games. So I figured out that you're supposed to do like you like level your magicka until you hit level 8, and then you do 1 health. So my person's like completely weak, has very little health and a lot of magic.
Yeah, I mean, like, with my character, what I was doing is I would do health, Magicka, health, Magicka, health, Magicka, health, Magicka, and that's how I've been leveling them for a long time. And every now and then I'll throw in stamina when I need, because the only thing I use is magic and bows. I don't really need a lot of stamina.
They also improve bows in Skyrim. And you could use bows in Skyrim. Oblivion. They weren't, like, terrible.
Morrowind was terrible. I didn't like the bows.
I could use a bow in Morrowind. I didn't.
Yeah, I suck at all. Elder Scrolls game and Fallout.
Morrowind, you actually could use a bow. It's just, it was a little harder. It's a little more difficult. This is a little more like first person shooter type of style. But you just had to get used to how to use a bow in Morrowind, and you could use it very proficiently. But you did have to always have like a dagger or something else with there.
Well, I was thinking, don't you have to on Skyrim? But I know people who just run around with bows.
Yeah, the Skyrim, the one problem I have with it is we play it on console, and the quick system to change your weapons and stuff, it's not like that on computer. The weapons, you actually could program hotkeys to do different weapon sets, and this you only get like one or two and to quick pull up. And it's kind of hard to choose because you're supposed to be able to fluidly go through, change your magic, and then change back to your weapon. Cast magic, and then change back to your weapon real fast. And me, I have to go through the menu and stuff because we're on console, and it's a little harder than PC.
Do you know how to use favorites?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. The favorites, you only can favorite like one or two things. You can't favorite a whole bunch of crap.
Can't?
Not in an easy way where you have to scroll through stuff.
Yeah,
scroll through my whole inventory of weapons and magic when I could just pull it up on the menu? It does the same thing.
True.
I mean, why favorite stuff when I know where everything is?
True.
That's all I'm saying. With what I'm saying is you hit like, you could hotkey like say one on your keyboard is your first set of weapons and magic, and then two would be your second. Three would be your third, so all you have to do is, you don't have to pause crap, you just hit the button and it switches it for you.
Which is nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The only downfall of playing it on the console, you have to favorite stuff and scroll through a list, or you have to go through the whole rigmarole to just choose new weapons and stuff.
Rigmarole.
Yep. Okay, and since you guys wanted to talk about characters, what do you want to talk about your character?
I'll talk about my first Skyrim character. His name was Carl, and he was an orc, and he was a little bit anorexic. And I didn't know he was anorexic, because orcs always look big and buff, and I just put him down to where he looked like a normal size, until I put him in the Assassin's Guild tight clothing, because then he looked like really anorexic with a huge face.
Yeah, he had a really big head and a little tiny body.
So he was Carl, my anorexic orc.
My favorite character is one that I play with a mage and stuff, and it's a female, because I always be female because I like to put it in third person every now and then and look at her butt or spin her around and look at her.
That's not creepy.
I like to make my characters really hot people,
high like, really hot high elves.
No, mine's a dark elf. It's a really hot dark elf, so yeah,
creepy.
That's not that
okay
creepy.
my character, I don't remember my Oblivion or Skyrim, so I'm going to have to go to Morrowind because I just recently played that. It was, I think, his name was me. It was Zeke, and he was a...
His name was me or Zeke?
No, Zeke. Oh. Could have named him me.
My name is me.
What's your name? Me.
Me. But anyways, he was a Khajiit. And if you remember in Morrowind, they ran, like, bow-legged.
Yeah, they ran like they just rode a horse or whatever.
And he was a, he was basically just a warrior, because I tried to keep him away from, like, being born under the mage and stuff.
Okay. And, anything else on Elder Scrolls? I think we've pretty much
covered. Yeah, I think we can wrap up video games, move on to magic.
Okay, magic, we don't really have a lot, I am going to talk about the, where you're going to have the combo of the week first.
It's not a real good combo, and I found it by mistake just playing a multiplayer format with Kai and Zeke yesterday.
No, it was two days ago.
Yeah, well, recently. But it is the Sanctum Gargoyle, and he is from two different sets. He is from Shards of Alara, and he's in an archenemy set, sorry.
Alara.
Yes. But he is 3 and a white, and he has flying. And when Sanctum Gargoyle enters the battlefield, you may return target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand. And he is an artifact creature. So if you have two of them, what you want to do is send one out, and then you can use him. He has flying, and he's a 2/3. And you can either attack with him, and when he dies, just send out the other one and put it back in your hand. So when that one dies, send that one out and pull that one back to your hand. So you've got a little infinite loop on your...
It's not really infinite, but, you know...
It kind of is.
I mean, it's not an infinite
card
combo where you're putting out, like, an infinite tokens, but yes, it is an infinite loop because you always have one of the flyers in your hand and you're always pulling that other flyer out. And I think it's a great utility card because if you don't want to do that, like, you're not playing somebody with flying or you're not wanting to put... more flying out, you always could pull out other cards with it. You could use it for many different purposes, but the combo that he's talking about, so if he can't do the combo, he could use it for other things. But the combo always has you with a flying blocker, and it always has you with something flying if you do that loop. If you really hate flying and you're trying to ping that, like say you only have like 3 life left, and it's a 2/3, and he keeps putting that flying out, and you don't have any flying, and you're playing, like, burn, you have to keep concentrating on that one thing. It kind of puts some pressure on, and it's nice to always have a flyer to block with a 3, you know?
Yeah, that's real nice.
Yeah, well...
I'm glad it's not the other way around. I'm glad he's not more of an attacker.
It beat both of us in a free-for-all.
Yeah, and that's mostly because I tried out playing a... 110 card deck, and it was the first time that I built anything over 60, and apparently I can't really make good 100 card decks.
And
you meant to make it a 100 card deck, you just did math wrong.
Well, I had to balance it out for the land, and I didn't want to take anything out.
Yeah.
And I was playing an intro pack, so.
Yeah. Okay, so the old school card of the week is Marsh Viper. It first showed up in 4th edition, and I... like this card. It's a 1/2 for 3 and a tree.
Trees.
Yeah, it's 3 and a green. And if Marsh Viper deals damage to a player, he or she gets 2 poison counters. If a player has 10 or more poison counters, he or she loses the game. So this is one of the first time that poison counters actually came out. And I just thought it would be cool to share that Marsh Viper was one of the first cards with... kind of infect, but more just poison counters. It just introduced poison counters to the game.
It didn't add in the killing of the actual person. It just added in the negative stuff, right?
No, it added in the poison counters.
Yeah, just poison counters. It doesn't do negative 1/1 counters.
Oh,
or anything.
Oh, okay.
It just gives you 2 poison counters each time it does. And I like the flavor text on it. All we had were left were black and bloated bodies.
Yay!
Marsh Viper.
So, poison stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't really have too much on Paper Magic, except the new Plane Chase is out, which looks good. I think I want to buy one of those decks once I, you know, have more money to spare.
Yeah, I'm planning on getting one, but...
Or maybe we could proxy some of the cards until we can buy some and try it out, because it's just a 6-sided dice with some proxied cards.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, and not proxy cards with it's a 6-sided dice with some Plane Chase specific cards, and it's kind of like Chaos Magic. If you guys don't know about Chaos Magic, look it up. I think it's just a better way of playing. I've heard a lot of people say that too. I do enjoy Chaos a lot better than
we played it like Plane Chase. Every week for. What, like 2-3 months?
Yeah, 2-3 months.
What
we
was
played
it? Thursday? Played it every Thursday?
Friday. Every Friday.
Every Friday we played Chaos Magic. And normally we would play it, you know, two or three times or all day.
Yeah, we were that is awesome.
Yeah, I now I want to play Magic.
Send us an email if you want us to do it for our YouTube channel, us videotaping Chaos Magic.
Yeah, if you want us to videotape Chaos Magic, we'll try to put it out.
Which I kind of want to do that anyways.
The problem, we're going to have to do it for, you know, 5-minute sections because we don't have any premiums on our YouTube. And that's kind of hard because one bad thing about...
I have a premium, but we...
No, it's not the Realm of Nerd premium.
No, it's not.
Okay, so, yes, good for you having a premium channel. Thank you. But no, the podcast doesn't have a premium channel yet. And we're going to try to help that by putting up some videos that people actually watch. And you got me off topic. So the bad thing about Chaos Magic is it does take a long time, so we can't really post it. We'd have to post a whole bunch of videos or do a lot of editing. So it would be a lot of work
just
one game.
Remember the time that we played it for like 40 minutes one time and we were like, oh, that wasn't too bad. We'll play another one. And then it took 3 hours.
Yeah. When, and if you add
and I was
people,
dead for two of those hours.
Yeah, we killed you.
You both were playing like green decks.
And you were playing a red deck.
Well, that's why I died.
You should have played faster. But chaos messes with you. And you can find some pre-made chaos sheets or you could find other ones. What Chaos Magic is, if you don't know, is you get
a world.
two 10-sided dice, right? And one's a percentage dice or the 10 section, and then the other is a
just normal d10, right?
Yeah.
What?
It's just a normal d10.
But if you're using two d10s, one's the 10's place, and then the other is
the one's place.
So one's either the percentage dice and a 10, or you could use two D10s and say this blue one is the 10s and this other one, pink one's the 1s. But anyway, you could roll those, and 0-0 equals 100, and you have two charts. First turn, the first player who doesn't draw a card rolls dice, and that's the world that you're on. And the world does some effect constantly. Like
you deal damage and you get a squirrel.
Yeah, you deal damage and you get a squirrel token.
Which Kai will kill in taxidermy.
Or you could get one where everything costs 2 more mana, or lands tap for 2 more mana.
It just messes with you.
Or topsy-turvy, where all flying creatures lose flying, and all other creatures that don't have flying gain flying. So, you know, it's cool stuff that can mess with your deck. And then... after that, you roll an event. So every turn, you roll event. And doubles, like 11, 22, 33, 0-0, will change the world. And events do stuff that only affect that one turn. So on your turn, you roll. If you don't change the world, you get an event that does something either really good or really bad for you.
Or really neutral.
Or really neutral. But it changes the game, and it makes it a little more fun and unpredictable, so it's a good thing for beginners playing with more experienced players with better decks, because it kind of evens the playing field and makes it a little fun for everybody.
Depending on how you roll, it like really evens the playing field.
Yep. Okay. And what I wanted to talk about in the Magic section was Modo, Magic the Gathering Online. And I promised you guys that I'm going to put up videos, but videos take a while to edit, and I just haven't found time, and I've been lazy, and I'm sorry. I just need to put in the intros now and put in the credits, and then they will be up, and I cover how to do, because I couldn't find online how to work the classifieds and how to sell your booster packs. Modo Academy, MTGO, Academy.com does cover some good beginner things, but they tell you to do things and don't tell you exactly how to do them. And I actually made some supplements for that, so you could go on and try to figure out how to do it. And I kind of walk you through baby steps on how to get free cards, which bots give free cards, where the Academy bot is, where every week you could go and get 4 free cards that are good. if you answer a question correctly. And I walk you through some other stuff that they also do, but I just make it into a Realm of Nerd instead of Magic the Gathering Academy. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to cover. I'm having a great time. One good thing that I found out that it's a lot cheaper to play online since you don't have paper cards, and I do kind of miss that. I do love having paper cards. That's why I play both. But it's a lot easier to, if you know how to build decks and you have been playing Magic for a while, you could go online and build cards. And cards that cost probably $25 in paper Magic only cost like $5 or $10 online. And other cards are going to cost you a penny or a nickel that are like $5. So you could build, like, I have an elf deck that's crazy good that would have cost like $250 if I built off of like Card Shark or online buying the cards individually. But I bought the cards individually and got it for $10.
Wow, that was a good guess, Elijah. I think I've heard it, and I think I just forgot the number, but I was guessing $10.
Yeah, yeah.
It was I was thinking $30.
Yeah, it took under 10 event tickets. And I also show you there a couple good bots that actually are reliable, and bots are what you buy from online, and they exchange event tickets, but they keep your credit because event ticket's $1, right? So if you're buying just three cards that cost 3 cents or 5 cents each, then you're going to have a whole bunch of stuff left over, and some bots will forget and just take your ticket and not give you credit. And I give you three or four bots on there that will remember, and they have a good selection of cards because they're actual professional stores that actually make a living off of that.
Wait, you can make a living off? Oh, yeah, you told me. You can make a
living.
Like
selling cards online.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Because I think they could exchange their event tickets for money.
Oh, okay, that's sweet.
So, card hoarder. And I also tell you about MTGO Library and walk you through a couple ways how to find cards easy and reliable. So, that's probably all we have on Magic. So, next section. Do you guys have anything else on Magic?
I have nothing.
Besides, you want to play?
I really want to play now.
Yeah, me too. And M13's cards? Really awesome.
Yeah,
I really love the core
sets. They brought back
sets.
A lot of cool the cool boxes. Things.
Cool boxes, cool stuff.
They brought back goblins.
Yeah, they brought back goblins.
Good
they
goblins.
Brought back a lot of old cards, which I love. So
with different art, too.
I'm really excited for Return to Ravnica, which is the new set.
When's that?
Jace.
Yeah, Drew's. And Nicobolas and blah, blah, blah. So I think it's going to be a cool storyline, a little more classic Magic coming in.
Yeah.
With a twist on the Planeswalkers. So maybe we'll even hear from Grix. Okay, anyway. I doubt it. But anyway, our next section, which is RPGs, board games, and stuff like that. And upcoming, I do want to mention that the race guide for Pathfinder's out. And they...
Advanced Rise race guide.
Yeah, the advanced race guide. And the Rise of the Rune Lords is out. I saw them. They're really cool. I really want them. But again, kind of broke, so...
Always broke.
Yep. But I will eventually get them and maybe read through them. And...
run a campaign for me.
I'll keep on doing my campaign. Or maybe we could run the Rise of the Rune Lords campaign. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah.
Excited for it.
Okay. Anyway, so the system games and character classes and stuff like that that we're going to go over is a board game.
Yeah, it doesn't have to do with RPGs, though.
It kind of does. It's in a fantasy world, and it's more like a board game version of a tower defense game, which are really popular on the internet, and you can find them like on your iPhone and stuff. But this is a board game version, which I think does a really good job of doing it. And what is this called?
Castle Panic.
Castle Panic. How much did it cost?
$35.
We got it for $35. I don't know where it cost other places. We bought it at a comic shop.
Okay,
so they probably run somewhere near, give or take $5.
Around $30. But it's good that you buy at your local comic shop because that's a good way for them to keep open. They do charge a little more, but it's always nice to have a place like that.
Yeah.
instead of having to buy online. So, yeah, I do pay the extra $5-$10 to go buy your game at the shop instead of ordering offline, because that's how they keep open and pay their electric bill and keep good comics in your area. That's why we don't have a comic store.
Because everyone hates us.
Yeah.
Because they will not buy stuff.
Because they buy from chains and they buy from the internet because it's cheaper and it just kills it. So you can't survive in a small town.
Walmart killing.
So if you have a comic shop in your town or a game shop in your town, be very thankful and do support them as much as you can. So anyway, Castle Panic. What do you do in Castle Panic?
You guard your castle, which is made up of 6 walls with 6 towers surrounding it, while trying to defend it from the hordes of orcs, trolls, and goblins coming from different 6 different segmented forest areas. They advance in on your castle.
Hold on. You forgot one of the main things. What is so unique about this board game?
You work together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're not playing against the other players. Everybody plays together to fight the hordes. So, go on.
Okay, well, the hordes advance in, and you have to use cards to hit them for one in certain areas. And as you hit them, their life totals, which is printed on the little chips that the monsters are represented on, spin down, which is kind of unique, which is kind of cool. And if you all kill this horde together, or get through these terrible plague cards and draw more monsters and kill these bosses, you keep your chips. And if you win, then you total up, which in a way that's told in the rules, you total up your amount, and whoever has the most becomes the ultimate slayer of that game.
Which is normally not me.
Yeah, it's who gets the most points, basically. But you're all working together because the castle is everybody's. The only competitive thing is the points and how many you kill. But throughout it all, you're trading cards with people, trying to stop people from breaking down your castle. Because if you all compete against each other, your castle walls are going to fall.
I think there's we just play classic. I think there is a competitive way to play it.
Yeah, there's more.
There's more different ways.
I think there's 3 different ways that I just haven't read up on or.
But the classic way is you're working together. And I think that's really cool because not enough board games are cooperative.
Yeah.
I can see why, because it would get boring if you just had to work together all the time. But this is I guess it's kind of only cool because it's a nice change from the usual.
Yeah, it's a nice change from the usual competitiveness and stuff. And I think Castle Panic is pretty cool. So do you guys have anything else to say about Castle Panic?
It's a lot of fun. You should go pick it up and keep your guys in business.
Yeah, keep your local store in business. But I think it is a pretty cool little game. Okay, so the next that we actually skipped over when I was doing it by myself and with Isaac, with our guest host, which I hope will be on again. So
he's a cool dude.
Yeah, I really like Isaac. Yeah.
He's
the next, we're going to go over something of, I'm really excited to play a campaign again in 4.0, because I've been looking over the player's handbooks that I bought, and it is really cool and really well set up. I don't know why so many people, I mean, besides not giving it a chance, like I was, I don't know why people have such a beef with this, because it seems like a lot of people say it takes away from role playing, but it seems like it's making it more simple, and there's only rules on combat to make it easier to role play.
Makes sense.
Because with Pathfinder and 3.5, I'm so worried about the rules. Sometimes role playing goes by the side, and you just get in the story and you're trying to go on to combat. But this seems like you actually can role play a little more with it, because the rules are so simple and everything to understand. The rule that we're going to go over today is something that people have problems with, and it's called healing surges. And we're going over the healing section, which is on page 293 of the
first player's handbook.
Yeah, the player's handbook. But it's just the player's handbook. It's the first one, but it's just player's handbook. But anyway, the cool thing about this book that I think is really awesome is the way that it's set up, because it's set up with little highlighted points on the very, very important stuff. It'll give you a little overview with a lot of meat and potatoes and the rules, but the big thing that you need to know is actually in these little, like, brownish green boxes. So all the rules are highlighted for you, basically. So if you play in and you've already read this section but you kind of forget, you can flip to the section and it'll just tell you the main bullet points of the thing.
Yeah, and by the way, Kai, kudos to you. That is a really hard color to distinguish.
What?
The blue, the brownish green?
Yeah, someone told me that it was green. I thought it was just like tan.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah. It's so, teamwork.
I'm colorblind anyway. So, healing section explains your HP and everything, and I think it's really set up. It's kind of simple. It's boiled down. If you've played other games, you could just read this and be all like, oh, wow, that's so great.
I don't know if all handbooks, like role-playing handbooks, are like this, because this is the only one I've actually semi-read, but this is actually really entertaining.
Yeah, it's not just dry, boring rules. It actually, it's really interesting the way that they present it, and I think it's a really good way, and I don't know why people hate this so much. Probably because it is presented real well, and they think it's kind of making it dumbed down and simple.
Because they're hipsters.
Okay, but anyway, the way that healing works now is you have so many healing searches depending on your class and level and stuff like that. And your class and race will explain how many healing searches you get. And once an encounter, so once per combat, you can use a healing surge, basically. And a healing surge gives you a quarter of your maximum health, rounded down. So if you always get a, if you ever get a decimal, you always round down to.
They don't want to help you too much.
Yeah, it just rounds it down. It always rounds down, usually in 4.0, which I mean is a. I think it's a good idea. So.
But really sucks if you're only 0.9 away.
Yeah, if you're 0.9, it's just all like crap. But maybe your DM will fudge a little and be all like, "Yeah, just take it since you're at 0.9." But that's up to your DM. The rules say you're not supposed to do that. But it explains, like, hit points. It gives you your maximum hit points, your bloody value, and what dying is. And then it explains healing surges in probably two or three paragraphs. And it actually goes back to page 291, and it'll explain how healing surges work in combat. And that healing surge is second wind. So each encounter, you always get a spin. One healing surge if you want to. And that is called your second wind, and it recovers a quarter of your health, but it never to exceed your maximum health. And the second wind is real cool because, yeah, you're dying, but you get your second wind, and it gives you a +2 to all your defenses, like your AC and blah, blah, blah. AC, your fortitude and stuff, whenever you spend your healing surge. But you only get one of these per encounter. And another thing that I think is cool that, so you always have a healer usually in your party. And, so normally like in 3.5, you could just have your healer hang back with your wizard or your guy that does a lot of damage from real far away, but it's really fragile. You could have him back there healing him all the time with the many times that that guy can heal. You could just spend it all on that wizard. But how healing works here is, that wizard will only get as many healing surges that he has for heal. So if they come up and use your heal ability, unless the ability states otherwise that you don't spend a healing surge, it just heals you, which is very few and far between in the powers that I've read, like with Lay on Hands, it comes up and it allows you to spend one of your healing surges that is over your second wind.
Okay, that makes more sense now that you explained second wind. You've explained this a little bit before, but I was getting, or I was curious what you meant, because it's like, well, if you can already spend all your healing surges.
No, you only could spend one with your second wind, but when they come up and use your heal skill or your heal ability, it's you could use as many times as that person can heal you, but you only could use as many healing surge as your character has. So I think that's cool because it allows the healer to actually heal everybody equally and not just be focusing on that one guy. So your fighter, who's taking a lot of hit points and hit damages, people ignore him because he has so many hit points, but he's up there in the face and letting everybody attack him. So maybe he needs some healing too, so let your cleric or paladin go over and heal him too.
Nobody loves him.
Wait,
he's
so
all
you,
alone.
You use your... You have to use your healing surge to heal other people?
No. No, when someone comes up and heals your character uses its healing surge.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't understand until you just explained it now.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not using the heal ability to heal. It's just the heal ability allows that person to spend a healing surge, which I think is cool because I did misunderstand it too when I first heard about healing surges, and I was like, that is retarded that you could use all your healing surges in one encounter. But no, you only could use one healing surge per encounter. But once you get out of the encounter, you can use it as many times as you want.
Yeah, it talks about resting, though. You have to rest before you can use another one in combat. But outside of it, you can use as many as you want.
Well, resting just means taking a couple minutes after the combat. So after the encounter ends, which is after combat, you can use another healing surge and then use one in combat again. Or use, like, three healing surges, I think. From what I read, I don't think anything is going to stop you from using a couple healing surges when you're just talking to people and your guy's resting and gathering his thoughts and getting drinks of water and stuff. So,
taking small naps.
Yeah, but your extended rest gives you all your healing surges back, which is basically usually when you go to sleep. So when you sleep for the night, that's how you get all your healing surges back. Or when you do an extended rest.
Or you stay up talking to Frodo about many times in the past.
I guess.
Like small schoolgirls.
Yeah, of course. I don't get that.
It's Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I get Lord of the Rings, but I just don't think it's funny. It's usually when you're sleeping an extended rest. It's not when you're standing up and talking because then you wouldn't get any rest.
And then you don't
have to sleep, but you do have to lay there and try to rest.
It's like a little kid. I can't go to bed. I'm not tired.
Well, maybe your character has like insomnia or something. I mean, like you could roleplay that.
Why not?
But another cool thing that they added in here that I know 3.5 has temporary hit points, and it explains it. They're not real hit points, but 4.0, a lot of its abilities for, like, the barbarian and the fighter, they do get, like, some of their at-will abilities even give them extra hit points if they go into a rage or something like that. But another cool ability is called regeneration, and depending on your regeneration ability, it gives you at least one hit point each turn. So once a round goes around, each time it comes back to your turn, whatever your regeneration ability allows you to heal, it'll just heal you each turn until you hit zero, and then it won't heal you anymore.
After you're unconscious, you don't feel any better.
Yeah, once you're knocked down unconscious and dying, it's not unconscious here. It's called dying when you hit zero.
Oh, okay. So, I'm still going off 3.5.
Yeah,
or Pathfinder.
Yeah, you fall unconscious and are dying, is what it says. So, yeah. And it's not cumulative and it's limited by the number of hit points. And you could read each of the bullets in here. Another cool thing about the rule book. So you could read each of the bullets, and basically if you played before, you know what it's trying to say. And then if you want to go a little more into it to argue, rules lawyer it, you actually have the explanation. But if you could just look at this, if you already read it, it'll tell you. So I think it's a really good handbook. It is necessary for everybody to have one because, you know, it's easier.
Logic.
But I just think it's a great presentation with 4.0. I'm actually falling in love with 4.0. I think it's a great system, and I think it allows...
Blasphemy.
Yeah, I do think it allows more flexibility for role play. And... It does have its downfalls, but I think for smaller and newer play groups, I think it's a great thing.
Everything has its downfalls.
Yeah, but like Pathfinder, it's real complicated, but you could totally customize your character as much as you want with its abilities, and it has a rule for everything. This is a little more up to the DM. 4.0 is a little more up to the DM, and you know, your character's kind of on a path, but you do get a little flexibility. I mean, it's a little more inside the box than Pathfinder, but I do think it's outside the box enough and allows enough flexibility where it could be really fun, and I think it's a good system.
Can't wait to play. Zeke, yeah. Learn how to DM.
Hey, I'm a slow reader.
Yeah, actually, Isaac is trying to DM with Map Tool, which we mentioned last thing. He's putting together a campaign for us all because he has a bunch of the 4.0 handbooks and DM screen, and he's going to have us play
over
Map Tool.
Sure.
But he wants it on the honor system because I told him that I really like rolling dice, and I think that really makes like Dungeons & Dragons and stuff. It's rolling your d20 and your dice and not typing in and having the computer roll for you.
Yeah.
So he's going to put us on the honor system. And
well, we can all play in the same room with our computers, like us.
Yeah, we could all play on one computer and stuff and move our characters.
Yeah.
But he could also move our characters for us. But anyway, I think it'll be cool because we can continue that even after I move to Lawton. But so enough on 4.0 and enough on Castle Panic. So to go over everything, we covered the Justice League, barely, Dead Space 3, Gravity Rush for the Vita, Minecraft for the iPhone, and is that on Android?
I believe so.
It's on Android?
Yes, it is.
The portable edition, so we could play Minecraft all on our phones while we're pooping.
And all at the same time in our two restrooms. One of us are sharing.
We all could play Minecraft while we duke it out. We went over to Elder Scrolls. Sanctum Gargoyle, you just need two or three or four of them to give yourself
five.
A loop. Marsh Viper, first one with poison counters. The videos that I'm about to post soon. Castle Panic, the Player's Handbook, and I think that's it.
Good,
and
I have to pee.
I'm hungry.
I think y'all are excited for August 1st, so go out, get those comics, and keep it nerdy.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Duke it out.